to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 477, Aussie Tech Heads. Yes, another week, and it is for the 3rd of March 2016. And what is so special about today? Well, I'll tell you, the NRL is back on tonight, Thursday night, the 3rd of the 3rd. So we are all back in the axis and everything. The worlds are back in alignment. Oh, I can't wait. I unfortunately can't see the footage while we're doing the show, but I've got it on the old record. All right, so we've got another big show for you this week. No Shane this week, but look, we've got another couple of guests. We've only got one at this point in time. Eric is going to join us in a couple of minutes, but for now, we've just got Stuart. Hello, Stuart.
G'day, Glenn. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Anything exciting happening with you this week? Just a normal, boring work week?
No. Well, have you ever heard of escape rooms before?
No.
Escape rooms? Escape rooms. It's a kind of like a touristy sort of a thing. And it's where you get locked up with like a group of friends in a room. It's like a themed room. And you've got to solve all these puzzles, open padlocks and combination locks, and eventually escape the room.
Right, nice.
And I've been planning one of these sort of escape rooms for my daughter's birthday party that's coming up.
Yeah.
So I've been working out all these sorts of puzzles and everything. So I've been flat out this week.
Yeah, nice. So okay. So what is it? Just like a room in your house?
Yeah, but the way that I'll do it, it won't actually be like a locked up room. It'll be just a room. But the theme is going to be The Martian, as in the movie from last year with Matt Damon.
Right, right.
So the theme is that they're all astronauts stranded on Mars, and they have to work out how to fix themselves up, fix the rover, work out how to get off Mars, basically. So
yeah, right.
So it's the whole theme, but lots of puzzles.
God. Yeah, right. And, oh, you're going all in. How old is she?
She's a tween, so it's, I think she's the right age.
Yep.
And I got the last piece of the puzzle, which I'm sure you'll appreciate, Glenn, if you can see this on the screen.
Yep. Oh, what is that?
Well, it looks a bit like a sonic screwdriver.
I was going to say, yes.
But actually, it's not. It's not. It's a.
That's
it's
disappointing.
Well, it's almost as cool. It's a UV light, like a black light.
Oh, right, nice.
And it's a pen that can write the invisible ink. So that's part of the puzzle, is that there'll be some clues hidden somewhere, and I need to find them,
right.
Turn the lights off, and shine it in the right spot.
How good's that?
Words.
How good's that? You are the party dad. That's awesome. Good stuff. All right. Well, my week hasn't been anywhere near as exciting as that. I'm just doing the same old crap, you know, same day, same crap. Or different day, same crap, yeah. All right, so we are brought to you by ATH Web Hosting, which is AussieTechHeadsWebHosting.com.au. You go there and find some nice shared hosting, web hosting space and stuff. It's all in Sydney, so it's nice and fast. All right, you can also find us on Facebook.com/AussieTechHeads, YouTube.com/AussieTechHeads, and a couple of other places where we will get to them shortly. Now, I think Eric's trying to call in somehow. Hello, Eric. Mars to Eric.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, he is. There he is. How are you going?
I'm all right.
Good. Good. Well, you're just in time. We have started, but we've only just done the intros and everything. And
okay.
So, well, we might as well just hear it from you. How's your week been?
Let me think. Can't remember.
Right. Good. You've been on the plonk.
Maybe I should be.
Yes. All right.
No, it's been all right. Bit up and down, busy, not busy.
Yep. I know that. Know what it's like. All right. So, yes. So, what have we got tonight? We've got a heap of stories, and we're going to get through. And let's start with this one, because this one might. This has probably created a bit of debate around the kitchen table. Now, Dick Smith customer database. Now, we all know Dick Smith is gone. The receivers have moved in and all this jazz. But apparently there's been a report that receivers, the Ferrier Hodgson, has placed newspaper advertisements seeking parties interested in purchasing everything, which, as you would expect, from brands and trademarks to domain names, but also data that Dick Smith has gathered from customers signing up for newsletters and other promotions. So that's a bit dodgy, don't you think?
I think so. That should be protected information, you would imagine.
Yes.
You know, consumer buying habits and what's what they bought, when they bought it, how much they bought it for, where they live.
Yes, well, you would think so, wouldn't you? Yeah, because, look, it's been people aren't going to take this laying down. They've got here, now there's a Gail Wiley. She's an executive officer of the Consumer Electronics Association, which represents suppliers and importers, and said that it was a serious issue that they were proposing to sell the database to the highest bidder without checking first with customers if they were happy for their information to be sold. Now, the Privacy Commissioner's Office was aware of the advert, and it said it had contacted the receiver, which thankfully is based in Australia, which referred to the inquiry to its public relations company. Now, Privacy Principle did some homework. Privacy Principle 11 of the Privacy Act, personal information such as personal details of customers can only be used for the purpose for which it was collected. Or with authorization from the person. The Act also requires people to be told what the purpose is when the information is being collected.
Ah, yes. Trust Dick Smith to just, if we can get money anyway, we'll do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what looked like what's going on. Look, that's pretty dodgy because I went to the website just before the show even, and, you know, the privacy policy's still there and whatever. So, but do you think that selling the customer database, it's all...
Selling the software is fine, but it's got to be depopulated.
Yes, but it's all... It's sold for marketing purposes, obviously, and all this sort of stuff. And in the terms or in the privacy policy, it would say that, you know, we're allowed to allowed third parties to use it and
whatnot. Because that's the goodwill, I suppose. For example, if JB Hi-Fi bought it or... who else would buy it? Harvey Norman.
Yeah, yes.
That's part of the goodwill, the client list.
Yes.
I suppose in that regard, it's, you know, if they're just going to sell it to someone who's not related to the tech business at all, I think that was a little bit dodgy.
Mm.
But if they're going to sell it to someone like JB Hi-Fi, who can actually use it to market their own goods to the same people, I can deal with that.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Joe? Are you happy that this is happening?
Well, not really, but I was just thinking what happens if they sold the whole business, which obviously didn't happen, but if they did sell the whole business, would that be okay in that regard?
And it
would. So then you think, well, does it make that much difference if they're just selling off the database separately? Because what if it was if the whole business was bought by someone else and then they then sold off the parts later on?
That's right.
Afterwards,
that's right.
It's a bit of a grey area.
Mm.
It is a grey area. I think that, well, like that Act said, if it was for the you can only use the information for what it was intended. Now, some might argue that the intention was our tech buying habits, in which case selling it to a tech company might meet that criteria.
Yeah, but I suppose as you were sort of probably getting to, is like if JB Hi-Fi bought the whole company and then they turned around and said, no, we don't want that database, we want to sell that.
I think they'd be. I think anyone would be a little bit silly to sell off a database because if you're going to buy a business, your lifeblood is the people, your customers. You'd be crazy to sell it off.
Mm. How much do you reckon you'd get for something like that? Stab in the dark.
Stab in the dark in this market with its reputation. plus, you've got to remember too what type of what demographic those clients belong to.
Mm.
Dick Smith are generally the cheap end of the market. You know, not the highest quality. You'd probably have to get someone to do a fair bit of data mining in there to work out. Okay, well, what's these people in this suburb? What's their highest average purchase price? Because you know, you wouldn't, for example, Apple, if they bought the database, couldn't do anything with it because no one in Dick Smith, well, not no one. That's a general comment, but a lot of people in Dick Smith wouldn't be Apple type customers, for example.
You know,
if you're buying the occasional cheap, this is cheap, I'll go in Dick Smith because it's cheaper. So it'd be the wrong market for Apple, but it might be the right market for JB Hi-Fi.
Well, it just could be.
Oh. Because the demographic is different.
Yes. Sorry, I was just answering, turning my phone off. All right. So Dick Smith and, you know, they could be in a bit of trouble. Not Dick Smith, but the receivers. But we'll see how that one goes. So, look, I don't know. If my info was on the database, I don't really care. Like, do you really care? You just...
Look,
just
probably not. Well, okay, put it another way, right?
Push everything to spam.
It might depend on what sort of business you're buying too, because some businesses would have confidential information, for example. Mm-hmm. I bought a practice 3 years ago, as you know, Glenn, and part of buying a practice is the client list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Because that's where you generate your fees. Now, in that client list is everything that they've done for possibly the last 20 years. Now, I wouldn't buy an accounting practice and then just sell off to a non-accounting practice that sort of information. I would only sell clients to another accounting practice.
Well, I suppose, yeah. Like, I wouldn't want to buy a database of names for someone that visited the local bakery.
Like, yeah, no one cares.
No one cares. All right. So that's the privacy. Dick Smith, rightio. All right. Now, everyone's been out looking at stories this week, and I'm sure Stuart has something that tweaked his interest.
Yeah, well, I saw something came out this week, and that's the Raspberry Pi 3. And the big thing with the third version is that it's got now built-in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So beforehand, you could still get those things, but they were plugins that you have to plug onto the board. Whereas now it's all part of the board, and it's still the same price as what the old boards were. So it's so that's a big thing, I think. And it's I think it's slightly faster, but I think it's mainly about the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on board now.
So you've got there in the story, it says it's $35. Is that like $35 Aussie dollars? Do you know, or is that the?
No, that'd be. I'm pretty sure that's US. Because actually, I haven't had a Raspberry Pi before. But when I saw that article, I thought I might just get one of the new ones and just give it a go.
Oh, I'm sure. It'd be great.
And so it cost
me $49.99, mate, for Aussies.
Yeah.
Well, it cost me $90, which included a case and a power supply as well.
Ah, yep.
As the board, so it hasn't arrived yet. So,
but that's
so
what software pretty does good.
It run? What software does it run? Android?
No, it's got Linux distros. So
right, so it's Linux stuff.
Yes, that's right. And there's all various ones that are made.
How does it fit it all on there?
With an SD card.
Oh, okay, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got an SD card and it's got HDMI out, and it's a fairly decent little device, and you can do things like, for instance, I was going to try running like the old arcade games on it, because there's a distro that is built around doing that. It does that very well. Or as a cheap media streamer, it does that very well too.
If I won Lotto and just sold my practice and just thought, right, I wish I had time to just sit down and tinker with this sort of stuff.
Yeah, so do that's I. Right. Yeah. I know.
Because
I'd buy
I just
one too.
Don't have the time. You need to give. You think, okay, I'm going to lock myself in a room for a week and just stuff around. You know.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't have the time.
No, that's true. I mean,
unfortunately.
When you retire, Eric.
Oh God, that'll never happen.
But talking about girls. But just touching on your Lotto hopes, did you hear the lady?
5.73 million. I keep having the same recurring dream.
Really?
5.73 million.
Oh, including tax? Excluding tax? Tax free.
It's tax free, mate.
So anyway, did you hear about this?
I'll be Skyping you from the Bahamas.
Oh, nice. You did, what's that telling me that you bought me a ticket to come over?
No. I'll get you a ticket for a slow boat to China.
Oh, I'll pick up a Raspberry Pi. Now, what I was getting to, because I want to end off on that story in a second and just give you some specs of the CPU and all this sort of stuff. But did you hear the story about the lady who won the lotto? She put a ticket in. I'm not sure where this was, if it was Australia or overseas, I'm not sure. But she put her ticket in and it won. But the interesting fact about this story was that she forgot she put her ticket in, so she went and put another ticket in with exactly the same numbers. So she's won twice. The same draw.
What a great story.
Yes.
I better put my lotto in, I forgot this week.
Yes, and she put it in twice.
Oh, God, love her. You know, there was a story, another lotto story. I think this happened in Western Australia. I think it was last week or the week before. This guy, they won, I don't know, a few million dollars in some lottery thing over there. And everyone was searching for them. They didn't know where they were. Then no one had claimed it. Then a week later, he claimed it. And he said, I was just finishing off my renovations. I didn't want to be disturbed. I knew I'd won.
Right.
I I just wanted to finish off the Renaults.
Fair enough. Why would you just
talk about focus?
Yeah, I know. I reckon.
Renaults, you think, drop the hammer, break the window, I'm out here.
I'll pay someone to finish it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, going back to this Raspberry Pi, just for anyone that's interested, the CPU is a 64-bit 1.2 gigahertz chip. And so apparently that's faster, 50% faster than the Pi 2.
What's the RAM on this mother?
That's a good question. It's not much. It's probably like 1 gig or something like that. Okay. It's
That's probably enough, though. Linux runs pretty light.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It probably does. But anyway, like, if you're interested in the RAM, just Google the Raspberry Pi 3. And where'd you buy yours from, Stuart?
It's funny. It's called it's a place called RS Components. Now, I don't know why they call themselves RS for all of it.
Obviously not an Australian company.
No,
they are.
Yeah, right.
They are. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, the website is RS Online. I think it's called RS Online. So.
Yeah, that's it. RS. Yep. I'm RS. Yep. I'm going. I'm. There we go.
I always remember when I was a kid. You know, they used to sit down and watch the Kingswood Country. You know, when it was first.
I used to love that show.
When it was first run, and at the end, because you know, you're a little kid, and you find all that stuff sort of pretty funny, and you talk of toilet humor and all this sort of stuff. And I always remember right at the end, it was always an RS production. I just used to like it every week. But yeah, that was a good show. It's still on roundabouts, isn't it? But
you can get it on, you can watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen it for ages.
No,
that's a great show.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Alrighty, Eric, what give us something.
Eric giveth and Eric can take it away. Let me just go up to the top of the thing over there. Hang on a second. Right. Now, I have three Apple stories.
Hmm.
I think I'll start with the last one, because it's the longest one, but I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it seems to be the most interesting one. Sick of talking about iPhones. iCar, release date.
Right. Rumors,
features, blah, blah, blah. Tim Cook comments on iCar rumors. Now, evidence that there's a link down the bottom of the full story, and it's in a PDF in a Dropbox link.
Hmm.
If anyone wants to grab, they can grab it from the show notes, because it's just too long to post here. I edited this quite. It was 11 pages.
Oh my god!
But all good reading. But I thought I'd edit it.
Where'd you get that from? What site or what encyclopedia?
UK site seemed to be all happening.
Jeez, they can't remember it.
Everyone's been thinking, oh, they're going to have a car and all this sort of stuff. Now, they've got here evidence that Apple is working on an iCar. Now, if they call it an iCar, I won't be buying it.
No.
Called an iCar.
Would you? Are you thinking of buying one regardless? Like, are you interested in the concept from Apple at all?
No, not from Apple. I would buy a Tesla before I bought an Apple.
Right.
Only because it's not their core business.
Hmm.
I mean, not yet. Anyway, down the track, they might have a division that does spectacularly well.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to take a few years before I trust them, and that where they can when they can call it their core business. Because now, if you've got a toothache, you don't go to a podiatrist.
No.
All right?
No.
And if your car's playing up, you don't go to a dentist.
No. So, exactly.
And it's not their forte yet. It could be down the track.
So, what are the rumors? So
the rumors. Engine noises heard late at night at Apple Car campus, right? Jeez. You know, it's all rubbish stuff.
Oh, that is myself.
If you're building an electric car, there is no engine noise, number one. But they're saying here the resident that heard may be mistaken, because the sounds are probably the lathes and the shaping of metal, and which makes a lot of noise. You know, when they're cutting, they're probably designing the car. So that could, rather than an engine noise of the actual car, it's probably the noise of the actual lathe that they're hearing.
Yeah.
The other one is Ford has stated that they think they're doing it. They say that companies like Apple and Google can do it and they're fine with it.
Yeah.
The second, I'm just summarizing all this because it's a lot of reading. They bought a lot of car-related domain names.
Yeah, yes.
.car, .cars, .auto. But it could be about their CarPlay system, the software. right? So they're giving both sides of the story here. At the same time, Apple bought iCloud.com months before its announcement. So there's that as well. So that could be about their current software that's in a lot of cars these days. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
CarPlay. It's quite good. It's very good.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm stopped at the mobile, as in like the phone, iPad. That's where I've stopped with that, with good old Apple. But yeah, look, the car's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, it'll look nice, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The classic comment, Elon Musk, the guy that owns Tesla, he said that it's an open secret, and he said that they're definitely doing it. And he said, and the quote is, although he's fairly confident that Apple is creating a rival car, Musk isn't worried. When asked if Apple was a threat by a German newspaper, Musk mockingly replied, "Did you ever take a look at the Apple Watch?"
Right. Yes. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Good comeback.
The most obvious one is there's a new electric car company called Faraday Future incorporated last year sometime. It's very secretive. They don't have a CEO, and it's a startup, a brand new startup, and they got $1 billion in funding, and they're saying that no startup get that much money in its first round of funding.
Yeah, right.
So they're saying that could be the front for Apple.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well,
so they've funded it. So look, I reckon they are building one, and it'll probably be 3 years before they, you know, bring one out to test one. I think it took Elon Musk about 5.
Now, right. Do you think that the car's going to be a driverless car? Is it going to be a couple of versions, do you think?
No, I don't think. It's going to take them a long time to compete, to get up to competing with Google. And Google's driverless cars have got loads and loads of problems.
Mm. Well, I've picked out a problem this week.
There's at least one a week that we hear about.
So the Google admits some responsibility after the self-driving car hits a bus.
Some responsibility? How about all of it?
So the Google said the crash took place was over there in Mountain View on February 14 when a self-driving Lexus RX 450H sought to get around some sandbags in a wide lane. So Google said in filing the autonomous vehicle was travelling at least 2 miles per hour. What's travelling at less than 2 miles per hour. That's not very fast. While the bus was moving at about 15 miles per hour, the vehicle and the test driver believed the bus would slow or allow the Google car to continue. But that's pretty presumptive, isn't it? Like, how can a computer sort of predict
that's what they're trying to develop. They're trying to develop a car with artificial intelligence, right? But nothing replaces the human instinct, because you can see that the driver is not looking. So if it was you in the car, for example, right? You see a bus coming and you see the driver looking straight ahead, not looking at you and not slowing down. You know he's not going to stop. Mm. So you stop. Whereas a car can't do that unless it's got, you know, some sort of cameras that's looking and scanning for
everything,
facial features.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's it just seems too complicated, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, because it'll be, you know, I think with driverless cars, they'll be fine for 99.9% of the time. They'll be perfect. It's that 0.1% of the time when they're going to
wipe out a whole population. Accident. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the car hit, like, was a banana bus, and it hit the join of the bus, two parts. So obviously everything's moving so slow. Why would it hit in the middle?
It's difficult. Like, it's difficult technology.
Yeah, but if everything's moving so slow, wouldn't you think that if it was going to hit, it was like, say, oh, that was close, just hit it. But it's hit it in the middle.
But the funny thing is, right, what I don't understand is that a lot of cars, these that they're making now, that, you know, normal driver cars, have a safety stop function on it.
Yeah.
That if you are traveling, I think it's less than 15 kilometers or less, and it senses, because it's got sensors in the bumper bar, and it senses, as soon as it senses something a meter or a meter and a bit in front of you, the car will stop automatically without you touching the brakes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That exists in cars now.
Yeah, yep.
Now, why couldn't they put that same technology at the front bumper bar of the driverless car? Well, there's no need to look at the
that's right,
the driver's facial features. As soon as the car is 1 meter from the bus, it should have just stopped.
Yeah,
or a meter and a half.
What? So are you saying that this isn't in that car?
Well, obviously not, because it hit the bus.
So anyway, 15 people were transferred to another bus, and after an investigation, the Transport Authority said liability is pending. So yeah, they've yet to work that one out. The crash comes as Google have been making the case that it should be able to test vehicles without steering wheels and, like, brakes and clutches and things. Yeah, in December, Google criticised California.
I would never get a driverless car. I like driving.
Yeah, yeah, but that's all right.
Playing around with the gadgets. Oh, what's this do? What's this do?
But it's not.
Put your foot down.
But it's never what you like. You might not like it because of safety issues or whatever. But then you're going to get hit by someone else that does like one.
So, well, yeah, that's true. That's right. So,
you know, you just won't be able to win, Eric. You won't be able to win.
Well, I'll just make sure I've got a massive bull bar.
Yes.
I'll wipe it out.
Stuart, are driverless cars, are they for you?
I think it's too far away, but I don't mind the idea of it, actually, because I'm not all that fussed on driving one way or the other, but I can see it'd be more useful being able to do something else, like catch up on phone calls or reading or whatever it is. So
whatever, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I don't know. Look, if they came out, they were safe enough. Couldn't care less. I'd buy one.
I think it's going to be a while.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a while.
All right. Now, look, let's get on to something pretty good, because now this is, I don't know, if Eric, if you've seen this or not, or Stuart for that matter, but Telstra's offering 200 gig of free OneDrive.
Now, I've seen this.
Yes. How good is this? I signed up immediately.
Yep, now, me too.
Now, the offer is only available to Telstra consumer customers with a prepaid mobile or home broadband. So that's me on both counts. So the offer started this week, and it's actually cheaper to buy it from... It's actually cheaper than buying the cloud storage from Microsoft itself.
Well, if you've already got a OneDrive, it just adds...
It adds it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it adds it in. So, look, there's links in the show notes. So what you do is you get onto the Telstra site, and there's like a little redeem now button, and then you redeem it, and I think you've just got to put in, you log into your Telstra account, then you log into your Microsoft account, and then all of a sudden...
I'm doing it right now as we speak, and I bet you won't even know I've done it.
So,
yeah, it was pretty seamless. It was actually
very, very quick and easy, wasn't it? I thought there'd be more steps and more hoops to jump through.
Yeah, it was just simple. It was good. Well, it's for something, for a change, it was easy. And look, I've got a little, you guys can't see this, but when you watch the video, you'll see it, but I've got some screen grabs of, what went on when I did it as I went through. But that's pretty good. Like, OneDrive might just be now my favourite cloud storage option because, like, I've maxed out my Dropbox and the Google Drive. Well, yeah, I still use that. That's pretty good. But I know, Eric, you use OneDrive quite a bit, don't you?
Well, not quite a bit. I've got Google Drive, Dropbox and OneDrive.
Right.
And iCloud.
Right, yes. Yes, yes. So, Stuart, were you a OneDrive user beforehand, or this is
not really? I'm more sort of Dropbox. I use Dropbox all the time, but I've got an Xbox One, which would probably link in very nicely with OneDrive. So
That's probably good for that.
So, but I read with there's just so many different storage services around, of course, it can be hard to work out how to organize your stuff because there's so many different things. You might have files in different places, whatever.
Yeah.
And one really good tip I read was to try and kind of segment it. So you use Google, for instance, just for photos, and you use OneDrive just for your music or something like that. And it's just an easy way of sort of thinking about where you've got your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. I think there was, I can't really think of it off the top of my head, but there is software around. O Drive or something, and it's supposed to like sort of amalgamate them all somehow, and it probably does the segmentation in the background, something like that. Yeah, but what was that? Ooh. Okay, I just heard a noise. I don't know if it was someone moving.
I heard that too.
Yeah, I don't know. Sounded like a bit of feedback. Don't know where that was coming from, but yeah. So all right. So how are you going, Eric? You signed up?
Keep going. I'm listening to everything you're saying.
Yeah, but you signed up or you're still doing
I'm still going.
Yeah, all right.
Redirecting me to Microsoft.
Oh, nice. All right.
Look, and it picks up my Microsoft account automatically. How good's that?
Yeah, it does. It's pretty good, isn't it? It is pretty seamless. So, yeah, so I did notice as you go through the little, small terms and conditions there, it says Telstra needs your permission to add or remove the bonus storage. Obviously, you say yes, but Telstra will be able to add bonus storage to your account. It will also be able to remove this storage at any point in time. So let's see how long that lasts for.
Before the people that's are up right.
Yeah. That's
right. I've already got a terabyte anyway. I don't really care.
Now you're going to have 1.2. All right. What else have you got, Stuart?
Just sort of carrying on from last week when I was talking about the HTC Vive, which is the virtual reality headset.
Mm.
At the other end of the spectrum, a while ago, Google brought out the Google Cardboard, which is just a simple sort of system that you put your smartphone into.
Yes.
Well, there's been a few companies that have done something a bit different with that, a bit inventive. First one was in Sweden. McDonald's have made Happy Meal boxes that you can fold into a Google Cardboard sort of a system that you slot your smartphone into, and then it's like a Google Cardboard system.
How good is that?
So, yeah, I thought, that's a pretty it's a great little marketing tool for them. It goes to show how widespread it seems like this VR thing is becoming, certainly at the low end.
Yes.
And then sort of fairly similar, you've got Coca-Cola's doing a similar thing with their boxes of soft drink. You can fold that into a VR headset or VR Google Cardboard as well.
Yeah, all right. So is this like, can we do this over here, or is this only just like boxes in the US or Sweden?
Yeah, I think it's just overseas at the moment, but who knows, it might be coming to Australia one day.
Well,
one day.
Yeah.
One day.
did you ever try the Google Cardboard? I think you could download it and cut it out yourself, couldn't you?
Yeah, I haven't tried the original one. I did buy off eBay just a cheap sort of like a headset thing that you put your smartphone into, which is okay. It's okay.
How did that work for you? Did it go all right?
Yeah, no, it was fairly good. It was about the same sort of level of quality as the original Oculus Rift sort of quality, but it still gives you a bit of that sort of nausea type sort of sensation, though. That's the problem. But
right.
Although I did read, do you know Notch Marcus Persson, who's the creator of Minecraft?
Oh yes.
He recently tweeted saying that he had tested all of the different new VR products that are about to come out, all the really good ones, and he said that they're basically all really good. So he was quite stoked about where that's going.
I saw that the Microsoft, they've released the HoloLens. They're asking released it to developers and stuff like that. So that's starting to get a bit of a chug along as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so how'd you go when you're looking through your VR glasses? Like, could you just see just the squares of the screen? Like, when you look really close to a telly? Or is it?
Yeah, no, it's like that. It's like that screen door effect is what they call it. Yeah.
Right.
But it's funny because if the app and the experience is good enough, your mind just sort of relaxes a bit and doesn't worry too much about things like the screen door effect. And you become immersed in the world quite easily. It's amazing. You don't.
Mm.
It's funny how you can be tricked by it.
I wonder how long you could do that before you start getting headaches. Just because you're just focused really, short distances for a while.
Yeah, I could only use it for a short space of time, but like there were some amazing demos that I played where it's like you're in a virtual cinema, like a cinema with all the seating and so on, and you can walk down the aisle and then you can go and sit in a seat and you can play a movie on this virtual movie screen.
Yes,
but
right.
But it's like you are actually there sitting in a seat watching a movie on a big screen, and it's amazing how you can get the feeling of a massive cinema.
So this is. Yeah, like the cinemas of the future, everyone just walks in, but they're all watching different movies in their VR.
It's like those rave parties where everyone just wears headsets, but there's no music playing. Yeah. So you go in there and everyone's just dancing around, but there's no sound.
No.
Right? And everyone's just going, and because they've got their headsets on.
Well, yeah.
So it's a very quiet party.
You been to a rave, Eric?
No, not lately.
No, I've never been to one either. Well, never. Sony has recalled some Vaio laptop batteries.
So, I saw those batteries. They look sensational.
If you go to the show notes, you'll see the models that are affected, or contact Sony. But the
serves you right for buying a Sony.
The notebooks were sold nationally.
Ooh, they're ugly, aren't they? Ooh,
Between December 2012 and September 2013, they're implementing a free replacement program.
For the battery or the whole computer? Because this picture you got here, that computer needs replacing.
That's finished, that one.
That's had it.
That is had it. I don't know if that's one of the problem ones, but that
must be an old one, though, because it says it's a 40 gig hard drive and 512 meg RAM, so it must be an ancient laptop.
I just Googled that picture. Just for effect.
I don't think that one was bought in 2012.
No.
I thought that's more a 1997 sort of model.
1989. So with the battery pack, remove you continue to use the device. And Sony also pointed out the affected battery packs were provided by Panasonic. So buck passing there.
Yes, of course.
As I was going through this story, I'm thinking, geez, that's been a lot of recalls this year, or, you know, last 6 months. And it was the fourth laptop battery recall the ACCC has flagged this year.
Mm.
Microsoft did a recall, if you remember, of power cords in January, which affected the Surface Pro and the Surface Pro 2 and the Surface Pro 3 devices sold before July 15. And Toshiba and Panasonic were also forced to recall batteries last month. So it's a bad time for batteries. What's going on?
Go on.
I don't know. Have you taken all your Apple stuff to the...
No.
No, can't be bothered?
I look like a complete... I was going to say that word, but...
Numbnut.
I'd look like a complete nuff-nuff.
Mm.
I walk down there. What would I be walking down there? Are we walking down there with five chargers?
Yes.
Laptop chargers? Mm.
Yeah.
And what else would I want? What else? And USB cables? I might as well just pitch a tent.
It's all too hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't go there one at a time, because how many trips do you want to make? I mean, really?
Mm.
You'd have to go there in one hit. But I'll just book out the Genius Bar for the day, shall I?
Well, look, I think I'm not sure who I asked. Well, I think I asked Michael from the Aussie Mac Zone, like, what? Is there a problem if you don't do it? And he just said, no, all that happens, it's just the outer casing comes apart. So there's no real, like, internal problem. It's just the casing can come apart and you can stick your little pinky in or something.
I don't think
there's too much drama. But look, maybe one day, if I step on it, I might go, might take that one down for a recall. all right, cool. Now, what else have we got going? Stuart?
Yeah, I saw a recent article I thought was a bit worrying. Mm. Windows 10 updates are deleting some apps without notifying users.
Oh, lovely. Might have been going on for a while, this one.
Okay. Well, you see, the reason why I was worried about it is because the first thing I thought of is that there is a little app that I use, I've been using for years and years, and it hasn't been updated for years and years, but it's still insanely useful. It's called Launchy.
Oh, yes.
And it's little indexing type, what's like a file indexing sort of thing.
Yeah.
That you can use to quickly launch any program or Excel document or Word document or whatever. And the beauty is it indexes networked mapped drives and things like that lots of other indexes don't do.
Yeah, right. Nice.
It hasn't been updated for years, but it still works perfectly on Windows 10. So I'm just hoping that won't be one that Microsoft decides to nix.
Because when I first read your story that you put into the night show notes, I get confused now because, you know, you've got, when it says apps, I just initially thought, oh, okay, it's the Windows 10 apps, as in, you know, the new style apps. But then when you think about what does apps mean, what's it short for? It's called short for applications, which is just the general software that you've got on your machine. So what you've got, this Launchy, that's just an installable application.
That's right, yeah. It's just a regular program, yeah.
Yeah, and so what they reckon that this is, it's getting rid of some of that sort of stuff as well. That's crazy stuff.
Well, I can see where they're going for, if they're just trying to make the whole system run more smoothly and more securely, but Some of those apps in the article that they were getting rid of are things like CCleaner, HW Monitor, and CPUZ. And I think I've used all three of those in the past at some stage.
I've at least used two of them, yes. Yes,
so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's no good at all. That's pretty crazy. Windows 10 is doing a lot of strange stuff. I know a lot of people, they get stuck when they're trying to refresh their Windows 10. There's a couple of options, and one of the options is refresh Windows 10, keep your personal data, and that's it. And so what it does is it just removes all your software as well. And you come back. but what it does, it's nice to you, though. It just doesn't leave you sort of really... you're over the cliff, but... You know, you've got a big stick to hang on to, because it what it does is it creates a little notepad of what applications it has deleted. So so you can go back in and try and download them all again. Yeah. So I don't know, but that's some things I see day to day is when if you're going to refresh, be careful that you don't just remove everything except for data.
It sounds almost like Microsoft is becoming a bit more like Apple.
Yes.
Apple having this control over your machine and your device and what you can what you
We're
can
gonna
and can't
delete
do.
It and we don't care. That's right.
Well, how do you go? Like, I know just on the surface, you know, CPUZ, CCleaner, like they're free, but they're also paid versions. Like you'd be dirty, wouldn't you have a case if you said, "Well, I've paid for that. I paid for that paid version. Where's it gone? What, do you ring Microsoft up and say, I want my money back? Are you going to pay for that?"
Well, apparently it is easy just to reinstall them manually, but I don't know whether they'll keep taking it off after every update, and then you need to keep putting it back on again every time, and I'm not sure how it's going to work.
Mm. So, there's another one that's Speccy as well. That's no good. I use Speccy all the time.
I haven't used Speccy before, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It it tells you what your system's got inside it. Probably like HW monitor, I suppose. But wow, there you go. All right, where are we off to? Let me do one. When I get right, I'll scroll. So I've got a silent mouse now. I bought another mouse. I forgot whoever it was that was complaining about it. But,
that would be everybody.
But someone actually sent me an email. Said,
"Oh, really?
What's going on with that friggin' mouse?"
Your mouse from 1989.
That's right. So whoever that was, I've forgotten who you were. I'm sorry. But look, I bought another mouse and it's nice
and quiet.
Doesn't
make any noise.
No, you see, I'm scrolling profusely now.
Giving it a bit of a tickle, are you?
Oh, yeah.
No noise?
No,
no noise.
It's quiet. This is me. Hang on, where's my old one? The old one's around here somewhere. Here's the old one.
That's the sound.
Yes, it's.
Fond memories. Fond memories,
Queen. Oh, those were the days.
Oh, look, it's probably been with me, that mouse, for quite some time. Now, we'll do that one in a second. How's this 7-Eleven app? 7-Eleven app lets you lock in the cheapest fuel price for a week. So 7-Eleven, they've released this app, mobile, iOS and Android, all the good platforms, no Windows 10, that allows motorists to lock in the...
Yeah, what's happening with Windows Phone? Is that still a thing?
I think they canned it, didn't they?
I think it's slowly dying.
Yeah, I think it might have bit the dust. I think they might be...
Because you don't see any ads.
No.
Which is really surprising. Yeah, because because the Surface was such a runaway success, and it seemed like that they were
it's
in a good
built
position.
On the same platform, that's right.
Yeah,
what it was. But Glenn and I talked about this about a year ago. You know what it is. You know what Microsoft do with their developers, which is really really stupid. And Google don't do this. I don't even think Nokia did this. Apple doesn't do this. If you want to build a platform, they get all developers together months in advance, saying start developing apps for this release.
Yeah.
Right. Which makes sense. We've got OS 9 coming out in a year. We get here's the development program. Start developing apps for OS 9. You've got 12 months. What Windows do is that they develop the software in-house. Then they release it to the market, and then they tell the developers, now go develop software. So it never gets any traction, because when you buy the phone, there's nothing you can put on it.
Mm. And that's what
it's 12 months before anyone can develop anything. And then they come out with their next version, 9.2, just say. But then they'd release the developer kit for that yeah. 4 months late. It's just so stupid.
But I don't know, like, I haven't even looked at the Windows 10 App Store of late. I just got sick of getting in there. It was just nothing there. It was all stuff didn't work.
They have that same mentality with the Windows 10 operating system.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that Microsoft has recently been buying technology for converting apps from like the Android store to, to Windows and so on. So
they call what's it called? There's a name for it. I know what you mean. I can't remember the name, but they'll just grab any app and they can convert it, so they don't have to develop their own, lazy bastards.
But they're not developing; it's the developers. No. I think there was, I think you're right, Stuart.
That's a great idea, I think.
Yeah, there was something. Well, you don't have to write it three times. So So I think I do remember something like that, and the developers can just sit down and write it once, and it would just convert to whatever. But getting back to 7-Eleven, so they released this mobile app, and for 7 days, it looks at finds out where you are, through your GPS on your phone, and it'll look around the 7-Eleven petrol stations, which are generally mobile, or probably all mobile, and in your area, find the cheapest, and you can lock that price in for a week. So,
I've got a 7-Eleven that I go to every day, not for petrol, but, bits and pieces and whatnot. Now, if it so happens that I locked it in at him, how does he then sell it to me at that price?
Yes, because you've got this like a virtual card where you put some money onto it. So the app designed to compete against the Coles and Woolies dudes with their 4 cents off and all this sort of stuff. Once the app locates the lowest price, you can then register for a 7-Eleven digital wallet and select a voucher for the type and the amount of fuel you would like to purchase, and it's got to be between 10 and 150 litres. Now, you can redeem the voucher within 7 days. Now, that's interesting. Again, I'll get to that in a second. You can redeem that voucher within 7 days at any of the chain stores by scanning a barcode in the app in the store. So you go into the store, wherever you are, and you scan your barcode that the phone gives you. Look, I was going to say, when I said Motors can redeem the voucher within 7 days, hopefully... I can't see it happening, but I don't think that voucher is going to expire like the good old gift cards. I'd say that you just lose that locked in price and keep your $50 on your card.
Yeah, because that's right. No, you wouldn't lose the dollar value. I think you just lose the price at which you wanted to spend your money.
So the barcode can only be redeemed once, even if a customer purchased more or less fuel than the amount chosen in the app.
Okay, let's run this through. So you get all that, you lock it in, put some money on your voucher, and then you go to pay for petrol. Do you give your phone to the guy? How do you pay for it?
Well, I think a barcode must flash up on your screen.
Right, and then you show it and he scans
that
barcode.
He must scan this barcode, that's right. So, look, I ran it just before the show, and I don't know about you, Eric, but I had about 10 or 11 locals come up. And the local one was at Mermaid Beach, that where it wanted to lock the price in for.
That's a bit of a hike for you, isn't it?
Well, it's only probably 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes away. But, like, I don't want to do that. I'd like to try and just lock it in at Robina.
Up the road.
Yeah. So that could be a little flaw in it for mine.
But you spend just as much money going there than you save.
Yes. But you would probably imagine that petrol stations within a certain, 20-kilometre radius would probably be about the same from the same company, you would think, you'd hope.
Let's see. I'm doing it. Oh, what a rip-off.
How many did it find in your local area?
Let's just see. I'll tell you. What? I only got 5.
Yeah, I had heaps.
But I don't know what you're paying for petrol up there. What do you pay for petrol up there, for you guys? For premium 98.
Yeah, I don't look at premium, Eric. I look at E10.
Oh, E10. Oh, yeah. God, you're paying what, about 45 cents a litre?
Turn it up. For paying, it was 89. 89.
What?
Yeah, I saw it for $89.9 the other day. What are you paying? What are you so funny about that? Unless I'm getting ripped, what are you paying?
No, I'm not getting ripped at all. You should buy a lottery ticket.
Why is that?
That's cheap. Under a dollar.
Yeah, 89 cents.
What about you, Stuart?
I haven't filled up recently. I don't really drive all that far because I'm pretty close to work. So, I think it's definitely over a dollar though for just for like normal.
Use E10 kerosene super. What do you?
I use premium for my car.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah,
there are premium users.
It's around about $1.20, something like that.
There you go. Well, the cheapest I can see here, $1.27.
Righto. Let me lock in.
It used to be $1.58.
Well, I'll lock in because I can go. I'm on special E10. So, what do you want me to lock in? You want the Supreme 98 or the extra? Yes.
Yeah, no, 98.
The Supreme.
The highest. Yeah.
Yeah. I could lock in right now at 110.9.
Why is it cheaper up there?
I don't know. What are you trying to lock in at?
$1.27 for the same thing.
Yeah. Right.
Now,
we had the most expensive petrol in the country, don't we, Queensland?
No, not according to my app, you haven't.
Well, what do you do if you can bring yourself, look up your special.
I'll drive up to Queensland and fill up. By the time I get back home, it'll be gone.
Look, what's your special E10 down there, Eric?
I'm just searching it now.
Oh.
But it just shows that they can turn anything into an app, though.
Oh, $1.09.
92.9.
20 cents nearly.
Wow. Can you see that? Am I at the right camera for you guys?
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. 92.9. So I don't know. Look, it's only just recently come down to be half decent. But, like, I mean, like, I'd lock that in just in case it went up in the next week.
Well, I know the guy pretty well at the survey down here. And he tells me, he goes, I'll fill up on Wednesday. It's going down 20 cents. So
it's going down or going up?
No, he tells me when it's going down.
Oh, right.
He always tells me when it's going down.
Oh, he's a nice fellow.
He goes, you're not going to fill up today. So I said, no. He goes, don't. Fill up on Wednesday.
He goes, you're not going to fill up today. And you go, no. And he goes, what are you doing here?
No, I always buy my little drinks and my ice creams.
All right.
Cigarettes.
With the app, I think 7-Eleven should just take it one step further and try and gamify it a little bit. Because it sounds like if you could do something like, if you manage to pick the absolute lowest point of the cycle, for a certain week, that you get some bonus or some prize or something like that.
Good one. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think it's a good idea. And that legislation coming through that's supposed to make all the petrol stations put their prices in every 15 minutes or something, isn't it? Well, something pretty crazy. Wow. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. Did you have any more, Stuart, or are you about finished?
Yeah, no, I've just got one more.
Yeah.
And it's probably something close to your heart, Glenn, I think, just judging from previous podcasts, but Dubai hosts the first World Drone Prix.
Here we go, Eric.
On March 11th. Now,
still not convinced.
Here we
go. This one comes with a promo video on YouTube. I've got the link for it in the show notes, and it's a pretty cool looking promo where they've got a drone racing off against some supercar, and it looks pretty amazing. I don't know how the spectators are going to watch it, whether it's something that you never actually go to see it live. It's something that you only ever watch on TV because it's.
It'll hit you in the head.
I know, that's right. It's dangerous, but also, I'm not sure whether you'd see all that much, or it's more exciting seeing.
They should make it like Harry Potter, like Quidditch. Yeah. The big stadium and everyone's up in the stands and they're all running around on broomsticks.
Well, I think I'm watching it now, and like I know you guys can't see it, but when the video comes through, you guys on the video can see it. But yeah, like I think that this is the next biggest thing. Like, because look, although this is probably not too exciting just on a road, but that one in the Dolphin Stadium zipping around the seats and, just going around and around and in and out the poles and all that sort of stuff. And, you could have vision of the second place drone, looking at you'd have vision of the first place drone. I reckon it's unreal. That's it. That's the next biggest thing.
Go get yourself a drone, Glennie.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? Power it up and... Yeah, that'd be awesome. That's awesome. All right. What was the story all about?
it's got a $1 million prize pool, which is pretty big for that kind of a thing. So yes. It's a pretty big incentive, for some serious competition.
So they're going at over 62 miles per hour, which is about 100 clicks 100K.
Well, you're not going to beat a supercar if you're only doing 60.
Over 100 teams will participate in...
I'd like to see all the crashes and the stacks.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Because they're going to run into each other. And you know what they should have? They should have built-in explosives. So when they hit, they just blow up. Then it's survival of the fittest, basically.
Yeah, so I'm just reading the rest of this now. That looks pretty cool. It's on the heats. The qualifiers are on March 7, 8th. The top 32 from that lot will make it to the actual races on March 11 and 12. This isn't about to usher in Formula One. Blah 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 blah. Yes, I'd be into that. I might make a note. See if it's on the stream somewhere.
Where is it? In Dubai. So you're going to fly over there?
No. I'll watch it from the from the air-conditioned comfort of over here.
Yeah, instead of the 50-degree comfort of Dubai.
That's right, exactly.
It might end up being like one of those Red Bull type sort of events that they have, you know, with the flying and the acrobats sort of flying and.
Oh speed, yeah, you know? Yeah, that's a good idea.
It has that kind of feel to it to me.
Still have explosives, I reckon.
Yeah, you could have like a little road map or whatever, a little.
Or lasers, course. Like dogfights. Yeah. So you're trying to shoot the other guy out of the sky. That'd be better.
Yeah. A little obstacle course.
And... machine guns on there.
Now, you know how Kanye doesn't like pirates?
Oh, don't get me started. This bloke is such a... I won't say.
So Kanye, he wants everyone... You know, he's $50 billion in debt or some rubbish. He's... He doesn't like people pirating his music because he's been encouraging fans to sign up to Tidal to download his latest album rather than just pirate it. But it looks like he's done a tweet through the week, and it was a tweet of his computer screen. But what some eagle-eyed person had pointed out was that on a couple of the other tabs that had been open, he's on the Pirate Bay. Now.
What an idiot.
Now, have I got a picture here for you guys? I don't know what happened to my pictures. No, I don't have. But like, I might have. Here we go. Look at this.
I can see a picture. I can't see the offending part, though. Where's the...
No, you must have to look at those tabs across the top there. But all it's... Right. But it's yeah, so I'll read this little bit out. So it looks like he was torrenting Serum, a popular wavetable editor. That costs $189 for a license.
And what a tighter.
Yeah. And apparently, he got some tweets back going, why don't you buy it yourself, you tight wad? And then other people coming back going, don't you know he's $20 million in debt and all, you know, and all this sort of stuff. But like, what a dipstick. Like fair dinkum.
I hope he gets charged. What about these poor old housewives whose Wi-Fi gets hijacked by someone who's using Pirate Bay, and then they end up paying all this money in fines? What's going to happen to him?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing, I bet you.
Yeah,
nothing.
Well, they've probably got to prove it, and they can't prove it just because he's got a couple of tabs open. But we all know what's going on.
I'll just check his IP address.
Well, I suppose they could. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's that easy if you'd be bothered. Like that company, you'd have to take it to task, I'd say. I don't think anyone's going to do it on his behalf. But anyway, look, my last one. Did you have any more, Eric? Did you have a couple of iPhones?
I have a couple of iPhone stories.
Do you want to run those?
Scroll up to my... I should have a separate page.
I've already scrolled and you heard nothing.
That's right. Just scrolling past your Sony laptop.
Picture. All right, so you've got an Apple...
Oh, here we go. Okay. Oh, we've spoken about this before. It's another rumor about Apple coming out with an OLED phone for the next phone instead of 2018.
Yep.
Because they fear that it's going to be fairly flat and they've got to do something different.
Oh, look.
They talked to Samsung about curved phones as well. Nah. So it's a little bit of me too now because Samsung came out with it first. So. They're starting to play catch up now, aren't they? Can you sense it?
Well, they might be starting to play catch up, but like to me, I don't care. I don't care what the screen is. Like, who cares? No. It looks, as long as I can read the damn thing. Like,
looks good. It fits in my pocket. It doesn't fall apart, and it does everything it's supposed to.
I want more functionality. That's what I want. I don't want a better screen or a flatter screen.
I want it to fly out of my car. in a fit of road rage and punch the bloke in front of me who's just cut off in front of me and then fly back like a boomerang. Yes. Like the Thor hammer.
Yeah, that's the one. Well, that's what I want. I reckon that's what, like, OLED and all this, yeah, nice, that's good. Like, obviously, it's good, it's nice, but do you really, I just want more stuff. NFC, I don't know, just more stuff.
NFC, more stuff. Oh, look, yeah. That's all the stuff I don't really care about. But,
Yeah, but anyway, what's your other iPhone 7 story?
Rumor? Oh, this is just the rumors of what they reckon it's going to look like.
Right.
You know, back to the old, they're going to have stereo speakers. I mean, I'm surprised they don't have it already, to the truth.
True.
Is there something Samsung have now? Stereo speakers? Do they have?
Yes, they do. Yeah. So it's a catch-up again.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I used to like Apple. I still do like Apple because they're always at the forefront. But now, since Timmy Cookie Monster, not so good. I'm not a fan of Tim Cook. I think he's overrated and overpaid.
Hmm. Yeah, but what do they got to do to spark your interest again, Eric?
Well, I don't know. This is the thing. I don't know whether it's all smartphones that are reaching that maturity level where they the next smartphone is going to be a piece of paper that you can fold up and put in your pocket. Right? Here's my smartphone.
Yeah.
Right. Bang. Oh, hello. But unless they do that, nothing's going to grab me.
What about a phone in your shoe?
To change my name to Mr. Smart or Chief.
All right, that'd be wrong, wouldn't it?
No, so they're thinking, if they go without the headphone jack, I'm going to be annoyed.
Me too.
And yes. I won't be buying one. And they're saying that they're going to incorporate the headphone jack into the Lightning port. Now, what if I want to charge my phone next on my bedside table while I'm trying to listen to something? What do I do then?
Well, that's right. What do you do?
Right. And they won't say, oh, you can charge it at the same time. Well, then it defeats the point of making it thinner. If you're putting two lots there, then it's not going to be thin, is it?
Yeah, I think they're just starting to...
Just running out of ideas.
But I don't know. Like, you know, there's got to be something...
Their apps. That's what they should start doing. Develop their apps.
Maybe they could develop a Windows 10 emulator for it.
You know what would make people buy this? 4K... 4K 3D camera. Put that on there. It'll sell like hotcakes.
Well, do you actually play the video on? You mean you play
waterproof, so it's like a GoPro.
What was he saying, Stuart? Sorry.
Yeah, with the 3D camera. So what would you play it back on? On
like? Oh, you need glasses.
And you play it back on the phone itself.
Well, that's the other thing. They're going to have to develop a different screen, aren't they? Or you get some glasses, or put it through your Apple TV. If you've got a 3D TV, just flick it to that. But I think the 4K would probably be better and waterproof. Because 3D was a fad about 3 years ago.
Yeah, sorry, Stuart.
Yeah, sorry. No, I thought isn't the current generation iPhone 6S, is that 4K?
It might be 4K. 4K recording, I think. Might be. You're right. Might be.
I think it might be 4K recording, but...
it is. I think it is. The 6S. Okay.
All right, so take that off. Cross that off the list. Yeah. Now we're down to waterproofing.
Well, what was it a couple of years ago that someone came out with some an app that waterproofed your phone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what an idiot. Yes. Install this and then go for a swim.
And there's that app. There's that website on the internet. You go to it and increase the RAM of your computer. It goes... It says, what would you like to increase your RAM to? And then, you know, you choose, you drop down.
Is there a website where I can increase my bank account?
Yes. And you drop down and it goes, and this the little progress bar, increasing RAM.
Or like, it should have said, now stealing your information.
Yeah, that's probably more the point. All right, now I've got one more before we go. Is Steve Ballmer. I just like Steve Ballmer stories. I don't know why. But I just do. Look, he's now in charge of the Los Angeles Clippers basketball team. Now, he has performed a dunk at halftime. Oh, God. Now, look, for those on the video, I'll show you. There he goes. Whoop, there, hang on. There he is. Here he goes. Get rid of that ad. So he jumps on a trampoline, and he flies through the air and... dunks it. And he's not going too bad. Like, he's 60 or something. And then he does a stupid dance. Like, he does a Windows 95 dance. Yeah, so there you go. Did you see that? Did anyone see the Windows 95 launch dance that they did on stage?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
No.
Talk about white men can't dance.
Yeah. Oh. Look, I think it only went for about 15 seconds, Stuart. If you Googled something, I don't know, about Windows 95 launch dance, and you see them all just having a bit of a jig. It's so bad. It's so
was that
bad.
The one where Microsoft paid for that song Started Up by Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
That was Windows 95, wasn't it?
Yeah. I remember getting up to Harvey Norman the first when it opened on the first day of its release to buy 95. I was that excited.
Got all your floppies?
No, don't know. No, I think I had it on disc. I got it on disc. I don't think it was floppies, but it was. I think you had to. Yeah, no, it was on disc. It was 90. Oh, I had a 98 on disc. Yeah. Yeah, it was on disc. I'm sure it was. All right. Well, that's. I think that's finished us all off. That's it. I don't think there's no more stories. All right. So, did I mention at the start of the show? Yeah, Shane. He's. I don't know if anyone's interested. He got a problem with his leg. Now he's got a problem with the other leg. Come on, Shane. What's going on? That's why he's not with us tonight. If you want to join the. Anything on the Twitter, go to @AussieTechHeads, or you can follow the @AussieTechNews if you want some news popped into your Twitter feed every now and then. You can also listen to us on the AussieTechRadio.com. Now that's got a lot of other shows that are 24/7, back to back, and just played all 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's right. The easiest way to do that is get on the TuneIn Radio, and you'll be able to tune in and listen to all that tech webcast. Two guys talking tech or something. There's heaps of them. There's one from Desi. There's the interviews leaders throughout Australia and the world. So business leaders. So he's pretty good. And don't forget our new episode of the Obsidian Loft as well. So get that on iTunes. And don't forget the Aussie.
Oh,
Mac,
they've
so.
Done an episode, have they?
They have. Yes, it's been the first one for a couple of months. Holy. So I saw it pop up in my iTunes today. All right, good stuff. Okay, thanks, Stuart, for coming back in.
And, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. When's the daughter's birthday?
Saturday.
Right. Good. Well,
the party. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can hear about the escape room.
That's right.
Next time. How good does that sound? That's pretty cool. All right. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for coming in.
No, you're welcome, mate.
Glad you got your Skype sorted.
Eventually, yep.
And what are you running there now? A little Dell laptop or Dell desktop?
I don't do Dell anymore. I've got an HP.
Oh, what happened to the Dell? Tossed it.
Got rid of it.
Yeah. Just a weight.
Falls apart. So I got the Oh, no, I took it to the office.
Yeah, right. All right, good stuff. All right, so that's it. So thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Okay, bye-bye.
Aussie TechEd is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie TechEd or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.